I'm Andy Bates, part of the team here at KFUO. While you hear me on the air and in podcasts, I'm also part of the team that works behind the scenes to bring you the programs like this that you value. What you hear on the air and in podcasts is just the tip of the iceberg. Listeners like you generously support everything that makes radio and podcasts happen. Administration, cutting-edge technology, software, hosts, producers, and more. You make this happen. Can we count on you to continue this support? KFUO Shareathon, now through April 5th, is a great time to show your support and make a gift or make a plan to give for a whole year. Your generosity is important and appreciated, not just by the KFUO team, but by listeners who get to hear and enjoy Christ-centered programs every day. Will you make a gift today? KFUO.org/give. KFUO.org/give.
Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Numbers chapter 20, verses 2 through 13, and the Reverend Hans Feeney is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Reading from the book of Numbers, chapter 20. Now there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves together against Moses and Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Would that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle." And Moses took the staff from before the Lord, as he commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through them he showed himself holy. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. As a kid, I must say it bothered me quite a bit when I learned that God didn't let Moses deliver the people of Israel into the Promised Land. In particular, it bothered me why God didn't let him do it. How is it fair for Moses to do 90% of the work and then not get to finish his course over something that at least seemed to be so entirely trivial? David committed adultery and orchestrated the death of Uriah, and yet got to finish his course as king. Jacob deceived his father to acquire his blessing, but got to keep it. Moses hit a rock one more time than he was supposed to. That hardly seemed fair. As a kid, that would be like if you went on Willy Wonka's tour and all you did was wipe your feet twice on the mat that you were only supposed to wipe them on once, and you got kicked out while Violet Beauregard and Augustus Gloop got to inherit the factory. But as I grew older and grew in my understanding of the scriptures, the justice of God in all of this became quite clear in two ways. First of all, Moses' action wasn't as innocuous as it seemed. When the time came to bring forth water from the rock, Moses tapped the rock twice, not because he was being forgetful or careless, but because, as the Lord himself says, Moses didn't believe. He didn't trust the sufficiency of the Lord's promise and the Lord's miracle. Moses, in his pride, and probably in his exhaustion over the grumbling of the people, thought that God's promise couldn't be trusted, and in the end, with his extra tap, taught the very people who were constantly erupting with doubts about God's mercy that they were right to have those doubts. And so, God heaped a harsh punishment upon Moses to show that there is no such thing as a small or trivial sin. All sin is a manifestation of unbelief, an eruption of doubt and distrust in the Lord who has promised to give you his will, his kingdom, his provision, his salvation. All sin, even the most seemingly innocuous of sins, makes you unworthy of the eternal embrace of God. And that leads to the second way that God's justice becomes clear in this matter. In the end, Moses was never going to deliver the Israelites into the promised land. He couldn't, because ultimately Moses was a figure of the law. And while the law can show you the path to salvation, it can't actually deliver you into that kingdom. While the law can show you how to become worthy of the arms of God, the law itself can't actually deliver you into those arms. Only the gospel, the free gift of salvation, can do that. So the man who received the Ten Commandments from God was never going to be the one to deliver his people into the land that was a promise of the greater land, the greater kingdom. That task was always going to belong to the man Joshua, the successor of Moses, who himself was a promise of the one who would not just have received the commandments, but the one who would fulfill the commandments. Joshua was a promise of the man who would also receive that same name, Joshua, or Yeshua, Jesus, that is Jesus, the one who saved us from our sins. So when you were lost in the wilderness, starved and dying of thirst, Jesus Christ, the rock, came to you and gave you life. On his journey to Calvary, that rock was struck multiple times. That rock was spit upon, lashed, mocked, and pierced to a tree. And there, as he gazed upon a sea of sinners in the wilderness, as he looked out upon the multitude who could not do what the law required, as our Lord looked out and saw you, utterly incapable of making yourself worthy to journey across the river into salvation, there in that moment, your Lord, your rock, gave everything that you needed but couldn't reach or accomplish yourself. With the blood that burst forth from that rock, Jesus Christ gave you his perfect love, the perfect love of God and the perfect love of your neighbor. With the blood that poured out from his hands and his feet, the Son of God washed away all of your doubt-filled defiance, all of your pride, all of your trust in yourself. He swept that all into the cracks and crevices of the wilderness, where those transgressions disappeared forever, never again to be seen by the eye of your Father in heaven. And then, on the third day, when he rose from the grave, the greater Moses, the new Joshua, the righteous Son of God, picked you up in his arms and carried you across the greater Jordan into the greater promised land. Through the waters of your baptism, your Lord has delivered you into a paradise that will never be lost, into a land that will be ripped away, that will never be ripped away from you by your enemies, a land where unfaithfulness will never be seen, and where we will all see the face of our God forever. Even though we can't see that kingdom in all of its fullness yet, It is still ours. We've still made the journey. And one day we will see this in all of its glory. And so, in the end, Moses dying in the wilderness shows us that God is something far greater than fair. This all shows us that he's gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. This all shows that all the while, God has known the end of salvation's story. Our Lord was never going to leave us with the one who could not deliver us out of the wilderness. He was never going to leave us with the one who struck the rock too many times. He was always going to come into this world and give us the righteousness of the rock who was struck for us, the rock who conquered the grave and has given us eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.